You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
My boys in the building!
With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Speech.
It's Garrett Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have made it. After weeks in the wilderness of mock drafts, vague tweets, and all of the above, constant flip-flopping, draft day is soon to be here. When you're hearing this pod, it will be only one day away. I know that everyone on this podcast just can't wait for it to get here, just so we know who the picks are, so we can stop speculating, we can stop just talking about it, and we can actually see if the Jets could like maybe win seven games like one time. That'd be cool. That's basically what I'm looking for. But welcome back to draft season. Dylan's basically where I was like 3 weeks ago, where my man just can't even. So Dylan, how, like, the vibes don't seem very high at the moment.
Dude, this might be the lowest the vibes have been when I've come on this podcast this year. And it's not like it shouldn't be, because draft's probably my favorite day of the year. And I get so pumped for the first round, but man, I am just so burnt out. And I think like, much love to our fan base, but they make it just unbearable, like with this whole discourse about, oh, we're going to get Debo, oh, we're going to do this, oh, we're going to do that. Guys, let's just wait till Thursday, and then you can either drink your sorrows away or party it up when we get KT. So
exactly that honestly, both those scenarios sound fantastic. James, I know that you were calling your shot on draft Twitter about the top four of the draft. So, you know, are you basically the insider of this podcast is my question.
You could say that, but you would need sources to be an insider. So tough. Struggling with the unmute button, Meigs.
No, you were actually cutting in and cutting out, so I couldn't hear when you finished talking, unfortunately. But I'll go to Joe, James, if you want to get smart with me.
Meigs, I am a little tired. I had to take a cold shower for this one just to get myself ready for all the mock draft we're doing. But dude, two first round picks, two second round picks, two fourth round picks, two fifth round picks. All I know is that come Monday morning next week, the Jets are going to be a better football team. So I'm pumped. I'm ready for it. Draft day is one of my favorite days of the year, just like all you guys. I was actually married on draft day 14 years ago today. So that just tells you how much of a celebration it is in our household. And I'm feeling great, man. We're going to have a good day. We're going to come up with a really nice mock that we love, and hopefully the Jets listen to the pod and emulate it to some degree, because if the listeners know, they know that we know, and it's time to get busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If anyone ever doubted that Joe Belichick wasn't married to the draft game, I don't know if you can get better out of evidence of it than that. But all right. I mean, there's already a fight in the pre-show about who to mock to the Jets at four. I'm a strong believer that if NC State tackle Ike Ekwonu is on the board, he will be the pick. I really just think the Jets have not been shy about their feelings about Mekhi Becton with this coaching staff. I think it started over the summer, and it really just seems like it's really deteriorated from there. And if they view Icky as the best player in the draft and a camp miss prospect at four, I think he will be the pick. But there's been some recent buzz about the Jacksonville Jaguars wanting to take Ike Ekwonu to protect their potential franchise quarterback. So I'll leave it up to you guys. Do we think the Jaguars take Icky? Because I strongly believe if Icky's on the board, he's the pick. So, Dylan, I'll start with you. Do you think that's what the Jaguars do?
Dude, I don't know what any of those three teams are going to do. Like, at this point, man, like, the Jaguars could pull some shit out of their ass and end up taking Stingley one, and it wouldn't even surprise me. Like, it seriously is so hard to predict what's going to end up happening at four at this point. But I mean, if Aquano's there, I think I'm with you guys at this point. I don't like my negative. I don't want it to happen. Not because I don't like Aquano. I do want to say that just because we need edge, but man, like I don't want to see it happen.
Meeks, personally, I don't believe they are going to go tackle there. I mean, I could see it happening, but listen, they got Cam Robinson. They franchise tagged him. They have Juwan Taylor on the other side. He's still kind of developing. They drafted Walker Little last year, I believe. So I feel like they have good depth there. And I think the owner wants a defensive end, and maybe the coach wants an offensive lineman, but I think that the owner is going to win out here. And I could definitely see Hutch going there, Trevon Walker, one of those two. I think one of those two guys are definitely going to be the first pick in the draft, in my opinion.
I thought I was feeling bad about the Jets draft, and then I imagined being a Jaguars fan where I'd actually have to talk myself into Cam Robinson, Juwan Taylor, and Walker Little protecting my potential franchise quarterback. And dear Lord, I'd want to throw myself in front of a bus if that was the case. James, so I'll go to you. What do you think the Jaguars are going to do? And if they do pass on Icky, are you cool with locking Icky in at four?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the tough things about this time of draft season is deciphering the signal from the noise. But I do think that I think it's going to be Aquano, to be honest. And the reason is because it's been reported that Peterson likes Aquano. That makes sense given what we know about his success in Philadelphia with an elite offensive line. And also the fact that he's a great fit in that offense. And then the second piece of information that kind of makes me think it's going to be Aquano is I was listening to Move the Sticks podcast. And one of the things that Daniel Jeremiah said is, he kind of thought that they all have different perspectives on who to pick, but that Doug Peterson would win out of the owner, the GM, and the head coach. And so if Daniel Jeremiah, who is extremely well-sourced, thinks that Peterson's going to win out, then I think it'll be Aquano.
Yeah, so I just think Trent Baalke is unkillable. I just think, like, he clearly wants Trevon Walker. I think that's basically been made clear by basically everyone in the media. And Trent Baalke, like, somehow he survived the Urban Meyer era. Somehow he won the power struggle with Jim Harbaugh. I don't know what it is about that guy. He just seems to get his way. So I think we should lock in Icky at four because I do think he'll be on the board for the Jets. But as much as I would like KT, I just think that's what's going to happen. So now as we move along to 10, I'll ask you guys this. If they go Icky at four, do you think it severely diminishes them trying to take a wide receiver at 10?
I mean, when you look at Sal and just his history with the 49ers, three of the four drafts he was there, they took a defensive lineman, right? Solomon Thomas, Kinlaw, and Bosa. So I feel like that's most likely going to be the pick at 10, but it also depends on who's available. If Jermaine Johnson is there, I feel like they most likely pull the trigger on him, even over a wide receiver, just based on what I know of Saleh and of what he's looking for from his defense. But I mean, if they took a wide receiver there too, Meeks, I wouldn't blow my mind either. I mean, when you look at this defensive line, if Carl Lawson is coming back healthy and you really kind of have that strong side edge in JFM, like the defensive line is pretty good. I think, you know, last year, even before Lawson got hurt, I felt like a lot of people thought this could be a top 10 to 15 defensive line as is. So if they see it that way, and it all depends on Lawson's kind of rehab, they very well could go wide receiver there. But I mean, it's up in the air. It's either wide receiver or defensive end. I'm going to say right now that they're going to go Jermaine Johnson if he's there. If not, if he was taken earlier, I think it's going to be Drake London.
Yeah. Honestly, I definitely agree with you on the Jermaine Johnson point. And if a team like Atlanta or if the Giants from 7 or 8 wanted to move, was okay with moving back, I could even see the Jets trading up to secure that defensive lineman and basically eliminate the doubt of waiting till 10. I know James would hate that because that'd be sacrificing draft capital, and James trades it back. He doesn't trade up because, you know, these are the ways of all the smart GMs. So James, what are your thoughts on the pick at 10?
I mean, I think I was thinking about this today. I think it just makes so much sense to trade it for Deebo Samuel because, like, let's be honest.
No.
Bro, what is the chance that any wide receiver from this class gives you a year in their careers that Deebo Samuel gave this previous year? Obviously, like, there are all these other factors. Who knows what the long-term longevity is? You have to give him an extension. So those are reasons that would maybe undermine the thinking. But, dude, Zach Wilson is not good. You have to really make a concerted effort to support him. And the single best thing you could do is give him one of the most versatile, best offensive players in the NFL. And you know, flip it for 10, like way better than, you know, drafting Garrett Wilson or Jameson, who's not going to play, you know, in September.
Honestly, James, I am appalled that you, the value guy, the guy who always preaches to us about value, wants to give a trade 10th overall for a wide receiver who's going to garner a contract in the same realm of guarantees as Tyreek Hill. I think because of that contract is the exact reason you don't give up 10 overall. I don't think the Jets should do that. I don't mostly don't think they will have to do that if Deebo Samuel gets traded. And also, if you're thinking about just, like, honestly, like, rookie wide receivers are becoming the new rookie quarterback. When you look at the, just the gargantuan gap between what you have to pay a receiver at 10 overall and what you have to pay at someone at the top of the market. Like, it's a $20 million difference, just like it is coming for quarterbacks. And if, you know, if you want to play the value game in that regard, I think that's why you would lean a Drake London, or you would lean a Garrett Wilson or a Jameson Williams, because you're paying them $24 million over 4 years instead of paying Deebo Samuel $24 million a year. But Dylan, I know you're thrilled about the Deebo Samuel rumor. So what are your thoughts about pick 10?
It's not even that I'm not against Deebo Samuel, because I hate that I have to go in this. Like, I wish it was Tyreek Hill, because I don't like Tyreek Hill. That's just the whole personal thing we talked about when that was relevant. But Deebo Samuel was such a good player. I would love for him to be in the New York Jet, but I don't want to get my hopes up, A, and B, I just can't deal with this fan base going through this whole breakdown over what if we don't get Deebo? What if we lose Deebo like we lost Tyreek? That means Joe's going to get fired. Like, we can't do this anymore. Like, reality is just take a receiver with that pick. If Jermaine Johnson's not there, take a receiver at 10. Otherwise, I take Jermaine Johnson and let's ride it with the trenches with the first round picks.
Fair enough.
You know, Meigs, I know this is a big if, and we're talking about Carl Lawson, but when you saw how Cam Akers came back from the Achilles, you know, you feel comfortable enough thinking that maybe Lawson can do the same thing. And if, like I said, JFM is a strong side edge in this kind of base defense, and you have Carl Lawson on the weak side, then waiting even to the second round for an edge for like a Ebikete or a Mafe might be the way to go. These guys are kind of more pass rushing specialists at this point. So you kind of kick JFM inside on passing downs. You put this guy on the other side, and that's how you kind of create these quarterback assassins and how you get to the quarterback in those situations. And you take the wide receiver there. Now, as far as James and picking up Deebo, I kind of agree with him. This is a proven player. Yeah, you do have to pay him, but why not give Zach somebody who is just familiar with the system and who can come in and hit the ground running?
Yeah, basically, if this draft is Icky, Jermaine, and they like take Christian Watson or George Pickens in the second round, I might declare that I'm officially out on Joe Douglas, because that would just be a gross mismanagement of receivers, and it's not good. I'm not going to deal with it. I can't watch those guys on the Jets. But for 35, I mean, James, this is our guy, right?
Well, hold on a second, Meeks. What are we doing? We took Icky at 4. Who are we taking at 10?
If Jermaine's there, we're taking Jermaine. But if you guys don't believe he's there, I'm taking Drake London, because that's who I think the pick would be.
James, who do you want, Jermaine Johnson or Drake London at 10?
Drake London.
There we go.
Dylan, who do you want?
Jermaine Johnson.
Meeks.
I said Drake London.
All right, Drake London it is. Let's do it. Icky Ekwonu 4, Drake London 10.
Our defense is going to stink, and I do this not care.
This is turning into a Joe Belichick draft.
Can I just ask a hypothetical real quick? Like, just around the horn type thing for five seconds? Okay. Put a percentage on the chance that the Jets end up with Deebo Samuel this week. Joe.
15.
25%.
Dylan.
I'd go 20.
I'd say like 35.
Okay. Big boy over here. James is confident. James is the insider, so take for that what you will. But at 35, assuming they don't trade this pick for Deebo Samuel or a receiver, I mean, James, this is our guy, right? He's clearly falling out of the first round. He has a 4.0 GPA, mechanical engineering. I mean, this is...
We're talking about N'Kobe Dean.
This is N'Kobe Dean.
I was listening to the most out-of-pocket interview that he did today. It's pretty hilarious, bro.
Yeah, so this is N'Kobe... Yeah, I'm trying to, like... Yeah, if N'Kobe Dean's on the board at 35, I just think the value is too good, even though, as Joe has pointed out, his fit in the scheme doesn't feel like a glove, but I just think the value and just how smart that guy is, I just think he's going to work. So that's where my vote's going.
He was so impressed. So I was listening to a podcast with him today where they were interviewing him, and like how he was talking about his film preparation and how it like lets him understand like formational tendencies and down and distance stuff, which is super impressive. Like, I mean, obviously like that's kind of what you would expect from like a smart college football player who's probably going to go in the top 50 of the NFL draft. But like, it's the type of thing where like you could see Soller as a linebacker guy really liking that. So
Yeah, Dean is the smartest player in the draft. And I do kind of question how he'll completely fit in this defense, but he could be used potentially like a chess piece, right? And I could see Salah using him all over the formation. And I think maybe that could be a huge get for the Jets. I do, maybe I'm overthinking Dean a little bit to the Jets, because I do, like I said, Meeks, sometimes question how much of a perfect fit he is, but he's such a good football player, man. Yeah. If he's there at 35, and he might not be, let's be real. I think maybe this is a whole lot of smoke, because I have a hard time believing that other teams aren't seeing him. Like even the Patriots, man, I think he would be perfect for that 3-4, be that Mike kind of linebacker, have him protected by more of a Ted so he could just kind of fly around and make plays. I think he would be really good in that role on that defense. He's not your Hightower. He's the guy who plays next to him.
Yeah, but the guy who plays next to Hightower is Bentley, and he's massive too.
When it comes to Belichick, I think he will see the kind of benefit of
bringing. I will tell you this now. If I think Bill Belichick would take this player over N'Kobe Dean, and I think the NFL will take Quay Walker over N'Kobe Dean, and I'm calling that shot right now. Dylan, are you going to make it a 4 for N'Kobe?
Yeah, since we've made this defense to suck so far to this point, we got to get some talent on it. So, yeah, I've loved N'Kobe Dean. So, even though Devin Lloyd's my love child at 1 for my linebackers, I do have Dean too, so I'm happy with this. And also, guys, let's not overthink it. The Patriots are taking Alec Pierce with their first pick.
Yeah, it's either him or Kyrie Elam. Those are basically my two bets. But for 38, I don't know if this player is going to be here, because he actually has late first round buzz. And if he is, this is maybe a little bit more wishful thinking on my part. And just because they skipped on Edge, I know people talk about Ebiketti, they talk about Mafe. Joe, what do you think about Logan Hall?
Dude, are you kidding me? I love Logan Hall. I feel like Logan Hall is the perfect replacement for somebody like JFM. I feel like a lot of people on Twitter are kind of looking at Kayvon Thibodeau and Carl Lawson and being like, well, these are your two starting edges. And I think they're kind of missing the boat on the kind of player that Salah likes in his base defense on the strong side. Those are the kind of like Sean Ellis's of the world. They're the Arik Armsteads of the world. And that's exactly who Logan Hall is. I would not be shocked at all if the Jets took him. My only issue with that is they brought in Solomon Thomas. They brought in Vinnie Curry. They have JFM, so I feel like they did bring in players to satisfy that role well enough for this particular year where they might go in a different direction. But like I said, if they selected him, he is exactly what this defense needs in the future. So you could actually move JFM more kind of on the inside and on a permanent basis where he could be more of a three technique.
Yeah, I just think the versatility he would bring in, the way you can just make him and JFM interchangeable, it's not like adding a Jermaine Johnson, a Kayvon Thibodeau, and an Aiden Hutchinson, or even a Trevon Walker to this defense, but I do think it gives it an element of multiplicity that I think Jets fans should be excited about. But James, I'll go to you. Who are you feeling at 38?
Are Andrew Booth or Nick Benito on the board?
Nick Benito would definitely be on the board. Andrew Booth, I genuinely have no idea what to do, because he's been – it seems like Kyler Gordon has pipped him in the draft process. So So basically, I would say Andrew Booth is on the board.
Okay. Well, I mean, in that case, it would be hard for me not to advocate for Booth, just because I think it's a great like combination of player plus value plus scheme plus developmental situation where he doesn't have to come back from his injury issues prematurely because we have players, you know, to play right now. I mean, I could also see Nick Benito, who has the highest pressure percentage and win rate as a pass rusher of any person in this draft. So,
yeah, I mean, I love Nick Benito. I don't want to feel like I'm talking bad about him, and I would feel comfortable drafting him in this thing. He's probably a DPR to start, and I don't know if the Jets would spend a pick that high, especially when they have a guy I think they like in Bryce Huff in-house. But in regards to Andrew Booth, he's like, I don't love his game to the extent James does, but that guy takes away the football. That guy makes plays on the football, and the Jets corners literally have no idea how to do that at the moment. So I would just like a player who could bring that kind of skill set. But Dylan, I'll let you weigh in on this.
Yeah, I like Andrew Booth as well. I just don't think I'd go with him here just because of the fact that I don't think I want to wait on a player just to come back from this injury. I think this team needs help now. So I don't know. I think I would definitely lean safety here. And for me, I think I'm going to, I'll go Petrie.
Jeez, really tugging at Joe's heartstrings with the Petrie talk.
I know. Petrie's become my guy.
I love Petrie in this spot. I feel like he is a versatile safety. I think he's going to come into the league more as an in-the-box guy, more as a kind of a big nickel, but I think he can play single high as well. I think that I think he's going to have a better career in the NFL than he did in college, and I think that people are really going to see the value of him once he steps on the field in the NFL. So I think the Jets need a safety. I want him to go get more of a kind of a bona fide single high guy. So Dax Hill or Lewis Cien would probably be a player I would choose first, even though I love Jalen Petrie, but I just don't think those guys are
going to
be here.
Yeah, so. I agree with you, Joe. I think those guys are going to like the top 27 picks.
Yeah, that's why I went with Petrie here. I feel like it's hard to kind of.
Can I try to sell you guys on Brian Cook at 69 and taking an edge player here?
Well, what about Brisker? Do you think Brisker could be there at 69?
I think Brisker at 69. I don't think so.
No.
Tough, right?
Yeah.
So who's the guy you want to sell me on, Meeks?
Brian Cook, the safety at Cincinnati.
Oh, you know what, Meeks? I feel like he's just like rotational guy for now. I don't think he's going to be touching the starting lineup. And I kind of see him as more of a two high guy as well. And split safety looks over like a single high role at the next level. So I'm not super comfortable with that. I think I would rather take Petrie here for sure.
Okay. Well, I've been outvoted. So apologies to Logan Hall, who Joe claimed to love, but clearly he was not willing to fight for him. So now we will move on to.
Hold on a second, Meeks. We didn't really touch on Linderbaum. Like you thought Linderbaum would be there at 35. We kind of.
I do, but I just don't think you can take Icky and Linderbaum.
I agree. I love
That's a good point. I
could that see- was more like if they take KT at 4, receiver at 10, and they go Dean Linderbaum 35, 38, I got zero issue seeing that. Throwing the card in.
If that champagne. Happens, that's exactly. Thank
Listen,
you.
Pop the champagne. I just I think Icky and Linderbaum's a little too much.
I can see the Jets doing it, especially if they get a draft day trade for Becton. So you're going to have an extra pick there somehow. Then you could go with Linderbaum. I personally don't think Linderbaum is going to be there at 35. I think the Bengals will take him. I think the Titans could potentially take him. I think the Jaguars could potentially take him.
Titans would take him. I think I could see the Bengals, but if you listen to a lot of their guys, they really have them keep mocking them corners, whether that's Kyler Gordon or Kyrie Elam when they're on the board. So, but the Jaguars giving basically just given Doug Peterson's history with Jason Kelsey, who basically has the same exact body type, I would definitely see him seeing the value in a player like that. And the Jaguars would be my one, would be like my main fear in that regard, but I don't think he's going off the board before 31.
Yeah, I think the Titans are the sneaky pick there. They brought Ben Jones back in for the year. He's 33 years old. Linderbaum's a good scheme fit there. Feel like that's definitely somebody people should keep an eye on for Tyler Linderbaum for sure.
Okay. But then we will move to pick 69. So we have, just to recap for the listeners, we have Icky Ekwonu. We have Drake London. We have Nakobe Dean. We have Jalen Petrie. So now, you know, got a defensive back. Basically, you know, is this where they look for another trench guy? Is this where they look for a tight end, a running back? What are we thinking at 69?
Wait, sorry. Can I make a comment? I kind of spaced out for the last 4 minutes. My thing with Jalen Petrie is, like, if you're making the argument based on his ability to play the normal safety role, I guess I get that. That said, if you're making the whole have him play star/nickel, Kaywan Williams was a UDFA in San Francisco, and they had him on like a $1-2 million salary for the entire solid duration there. And so it kind of makes me think, like, are they willing to devote that much draft capital if that's the role that he would play? But I guess if he's playing normal safety, then they would be fine with it.
I think you draft Petrie because he can play multiple spots. I think he can play single high. I think he can play in the box, be your quasi linebacker. And then again, he could be that big nickel as well. So I don't think you're just drafting him thinking he's going to be playing that star role at all. I think it's for what he could bring to the table long-term to the Jets, which I think, like I said, I feel like he could have that kind of Javon Holland type of ascension. And I think that that'd be a pretty nice pick for the Jets.
Yeah, I also think that's kind of going to sell it, Joe, is that A, his versatility, and B, I think he has more potential within this defense than Jaquan Brisker has, or a Nick Cross or Brian Cook. I feel like he can grow more as that Swiss Army knife type.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, yeah, this defense, I mean, this coaching staff loves Michael Carter II in the defense, and we'll see how his second season goes. That's why I really think, like, if the safety they would pick in this spot is Lewis Cien, because he can just pivot Whitehead, can just do a lot of similar things, and he can just play Carter in the slot, because I do think they're high on him, but I do like what Petrie brings. As for 69, James, do you have any thoughts on who they should take at this pick?
No. I mean, I'd be eager to see who Joe and Dylan want.
Interesting.
No, Meeks, I'm going to sell Isaiah Spiller here. I feel like if you're looking for somebody to complement Michael Carter, I feel like this is the guy in the third round who would be an absolute steal. He's perfect for an outside zone system. He's probably one of the best running backs in the league as far as creating lanes and creases and zone. And I think that you guys are nobody can see what's going on in the background here who's listening to the podcast. These guys are literally rolling on the floor and like crying like in agony at this suggestion. So what's going on? What's wrong with Isaiah Spiller?
He's
going
to be there in round 4, bro.
We don't
Are you overdrafting him?
Come on, Meeks. We don't know.
Dude, he's been mocked there multiple times.
So what? He was mocked in the fourth round. What does that mean?
Dude, he's going in the fourth round. I'll take him at 114. We can talk about it then.
All right, who do you guys want here in the third round?
Dude, there's no corner. There's no like corner on the board that I would love here, which is the really unfortunate thing. Because I'm not taking Kobe Bryant at 69.
Oh, yeah. How do we feel about a Tariq Woolen fall?
Yeah, I think we're going Isaiah Spiller over Tyreek.
No, but okay.
Dylan, save us from this.
And I don't think Woolen's going to be there in the third round either. I think he's a second round guy.
Dude, I was looking more. I'd be more on his page than I'd be on the Spiller page. You know, ooh.
You guys are sleeping on Spiller, man.
This is tough, man.
Oh, no.
I want to go defense here. I'm just trying to.
Would they take Cole Strange here, you think, even if they took Icky?
I don't think so. I think, man, dude.
They're going to want somebody to take over from McGovern next year. I think taking somebody, a guard who could play center, someone like Dylan Parham.
Yeah, I would love Dylan Parham. I'd be ecstatic if he got to this spot. No, I don't think so.
Let's just take Dylan Parham or Cam Jurgens and have a good offense.
Yeah, I'd be more into Parham because I don't think Jurgens is going to be here at 69.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You guys were late to that party that I clearly started. Shout out Draft Twitter, basically following in my footsteps with Cam Jurgens, basically getting like second round player hype now. But yeah, I'm down for Dylan Parham if that works for you guys.
Meigs, you took Cam Jurgens, a guy who was probably going to go in the fifth round, and brought this guy to a second round grade. You have made that man more money than his agent ever will.
Exactly. And he owes it's you all about he owes the all the listeners of this podcast now.
Hey, I have another suggestion. We all haven't taken Edge, correct?
Yes, I would be down for Edge. So,
what about Sam Williams?
Sam Williams is my guy, dude. I'd absolutely.
Yeah, I would take Sam Williams here. And it's just he's got the off the field stuff that.
Oh,
I don't know if they.
Yeah, the off the field, the off the field stuff too is like really.
It's not
like,
good.
Not good. Yeah,
it's actually some, bad.
Like Adam Anderson bad, or are we talking? Like
I would say like
it's Adam Anderson.
Above?
I don't know if it's pretty, you know, you could look it up, but it's some shady stuff. I don't know. You know, obviously people have done their homework on him. I wonder how far he's going to fall in the draft.
Yeah. I think he's worth this pick. I just don't know if you can take him because of it.
Yeah. From a pure pass rushing perspective, the guy's definitely has ability. I mean, he's got a nonstop motor. He doesn't have the most pass rush moves, but he's definitely attacking a quarterback pretty much on every single play. He finds a way to get there. So, you know, in this spot, like, again, bringing him in is kind of like one of those pass rushing specialists, a guy you bring in on clear passing downs. This is a guy who definitely fits that mold for sure.
Let's just take Dylan Parham. I feel safer here.
Yeah, I'm with Dylan on that. All right, and we'll go to round four. So round four, this would be pick 114. I mean, this is Pierre Strong, isn't it?
Oh, my God, bro.
What do you mean, James? Oh, my God. Yes, Meeks.
Pierre Strong would be fantastic. Okay. Here's my thing. Why would you want all these small school running backs like Tyler Algier, Pierre Strong, like whoever, when you could have Brian Robinson or Zamir White, who played at like the two most difficult schools to start at? And with Zamir White, this dude This dude has been injured every year, and he's kept his job. Like,
okay. James. First of all, I have both of those guys ranked higher than Pierre Strong. You're 100% correct. But Pierre Strong is a better scheme fit in an outside zone than both of those guys. Brian Robinson and Zamir White make their money in a gap-heavy scheme, and I think that's the kind of team they should get drafted by. Now, am I going to complain if Joe Douglas drafts Brian Robinson? No, he's an absolute beast. The guy is amazing. But we do have to kind of try to figure out what we think the Jets, you know, what players they're going to attack. And I feel like when it comes to this particular scheme, I think Pierre Strong is somebody who definitely kind of fits the bill a little bit better than those two guys. But I do kind of understand this from a talent perspective. I think that both of those guys are more talented. I will agree with that.
I would lean Zamir White here just because I'm a huge Zamir White guy. I think we all, and James wasn't here for that one, but it was kind of funny that we all had Zamir White in our top five pretty firmly. So I think if we can get a guy like that here, I would be very happy with that. But I kind of have to look at the Pierre Strong hype. The fact they used the top 30 visit on him says a lot to me. So
he's the Shanahan running back of this.
Yeah, I don't want to do it, but
if you guys don't want to take him, my other suggestion would be Kobe Bryant, given how much they loved him at the Senior Bowl.
I'm good with Kobe Bryant here.
I feel like I would go with Channing Tindall here. I feel like bringing some.
We already took the Kobe. We don't need two linebackers.
Oh, that's right. We took Dean. Good point. All right. Okay.
I was going to take Troy Anderson in the third, but I am very much
Kobe Bryant. All right. So are we cool with Kobe Bryant?
We can do Kobe Bryant. Yes.
Okay.
Why don't you run through the picks just so I remember who we are?
So we got Ikem Ekwonu. We got Drake London. We got Nakobe Dean. We got Jalen Petrie. We got Dylan Parham. And we got Kobe Bryant. And
now good draft.
Yeah, I like this draft.
I think it's pretty good. I feel like now with the second, fourth round pick, maybe why not go Pierre Strong here? Maybe we should definitely take a running back at some point.
Do we want to go like pick a running back in the fifth round, or do we want to take like a Danny Gray here?
I like the Pierre Strong pick here. I think there's too much smoke with the fact that they utilized that pick or that visit on him. And those do mean something. So yeah, if we can get a player like Kobe Bryant and Pierre Strong, then I'm okay with it. So
yeah. Okay. James, I'll leave it to you. Cause I know where Joe's going.
I mean, bro, I don't really want to go running back.
This whole entire offense is predicated on running the ball. Right now, our running back room is Michael Carter, who has a predisposition to getting hurt. Tevin Coleman, who has a predisposition to getting hurt. There's a gigantic hole in there. We need to.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon literally signed with the Broncos an hour ago.
Yeah, like this team is going nowhere if they can't run the ball. Those are just facts.
Yeah, I'm cool with Pierre Strong here. So, James, you're getting overruled. So now we have our first pick of the fifth round. You know, this is just like scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point. I would love to say Eru Ekwazama in this pick. But I feel like him and Drake London, like you'd want to get a little more varying of a skill set in that regard. So do we think Bo Melton's going to be on the board? Because I would 100% take him.
What about Daniel Bellinger here?
Ooh.
Matt Corral.
Matt Corral's not going to be here.
James, what are you doing today?
My serious suggestions, though, are Isaiah Likely and Zion McCollum.
I would take Bellinger in this spot because they need someone who can block.
I like McCollum. I don't believe he's going to be available in the fifth round. I think he's going. This guy is just a freak athlete. The NFL is
with these. Those guys get overdrafted all the time. Like freaking Kelvin Joseph was a second round pick. Dylan, what are you thinking? You cool with Daniel Bellinger here?
You know, I'll take Bellinger just because we need more blocking help at the tight end position. And I don't want to see our tight ends be. I want to prevent any potential situation where we have an Eric Tomlinson-esque tight end playing any down of New York Jet football. So if we have a tight end,
or as our guy DA would say, Angels and Demons, Dan Brown.
Oh my God! Just give me an Uzama, Conklin, and Bellinger tight end room, and I'll be happy.
Bellinger might be the best blocking tight end in the entire tight end room. So
or Kate Otten, but Kate Otten's already.
I mean on the Jets. If you bring him on the Jets, like
him and Conklin will be close. I think he's a better blocker than Uzoma is.
Yeah, he's the perfect kind of guy who's a good blocker that you could groom into a passer. I like this pick.
I'll take it. I'm cool with that. All right, and our final pick of the draft, James. I know we've really been going against you the past couple rounds. So do you have somebody you want to bang the table for?
Not really, to be honest.
Ron McKinley.
Any run stuffing interior defensive lineman? Because
Should we just take Matt Ariza just for the memes?
No, absolutely not.
on God, Jordan Stout. Jordan Stout.
Bro. Wait, what about Bailey Zappi?
We do need someone to fill the James Morgan role. So,
I mean, honestly, if we're getting chaotic, I'm taking Zappi. Fuck it. Let's get zapped.
You know, honestly, I feel like people listening to this are going to think this is ridiculous. But when you look at Joe Douglas, he took Morgan. And then when you look at him when he was with the Eagles, they took Clayton Thorson. Was in like the fifth round as well when they had their quarterback. So it wouldn't be like out of the realm of possibilities that he would take a quarterback. But I think he did learn his lesson from Morgan. So like maybe we should make another pick here. You know, this that kid, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Atito Ogbonu from UCLA, the defensive tackle. I feel like he could play that kind of maybe one tech, two eye kind of look in the NFL. He might be a good player here.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good shout just because I do think they're going to add a defensive tackle in some capacity. And I think because they didn't do it on like the day two that some people mock them with the Travis Jones, the Perrin Winfrey's, the Logan Halls of the world. I think this is the spot they would do it in.
Yeah, you know, I hope I pronounce his name properly, but he's from UCLA. It's a defensive tackle. Otito Ogbonia, I believe. Is that it? You guys know better than I do.
I'm terrible pronouncing my name. So basically I'm riding or dying with you with this one.
Yeah, it's Otito Ogbonia. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Let's run through the draft and see what we'll give it. So first we had NC State offensive tackle, Ike Ekwonu. At 4, at 10, we had USC wide receiver, Drake London. At 35, we had linebacker, N'Kobe Dean. At 38, we had safety / do-it-all weapons / the apple of Joe Belichick's eye, Jalen Petrie, safety out of Baylor. At 69, we took center / guard because I think Parham's probably going to play center.
Yeah.
I think he'd be good there.
Eventually, that's going to be his spot for sure.
I definitely think that out of Memphis. In round 4, we had cornerback Kobe Bryant out of Cincinnati and running back out of San Diego State, Pierre Strong. Round 5, we had – who did we have in round 5? God, now you guys are losing me.
Daniel Bellinger.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bellinger, tight end of San Diego State, and then Joe Kapasoff because I cannot
say that. And a defensive tackle from UCLA, Atito Ogbonia. This dude can squat like almost 700 pounds. The guy's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would – Dylan, I'll start with you. What grade would you give this draft?
Honestly, I'll give it a B+. I think dealing with the headaches that we've had, just so much deliberation about 4 and 10 all off season, and to now going into an off season full of listening to the fan base yell about Mekhi Becton, Ekwonu, and Fant, and divide the fan base even more. I don't know if I really want to listen to that, but in reality, we would have competition at one of the most important spots in football. So I think after you get past that pick for me, I love the rest of our picks. So I'd give it a B+ though.
Okay, James, I'll start with you.
Well, I think one of the best ways to assess a mock draft is by looking at how the second and third rounds go, because nobody really thinks that like players who go in the first round are going to suck, especially the high first round. So I think what we did in the second and third round makes a lot of sense. N'Kobe Dean, I'm a big fan of. Jalen Petrie, even though I'm not, a lot of people I respect are. And so I'm willing to admit a lot of room for error there and hope that he does well if we were to draft him. So overall, like, you know, par makes sense. I think it was a decent draft.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a B+ too, Meeks. I'm going to with Dylan on that one. I think my favorite combination here is getting Ekwonu in London and then pairing him with that speedster in the backfield with Pierre Strong. This is going to be bully ball at its finest. These guys who are just demolishing people up front. And then you have a really nice complement in the backfield to kill them with that speed. And listen, this entire offense is predicated on running the ball. Zach's development hinges entirely on how well that running game is going to work next year. So I'm most excited about that. And I think we got a lot of great players. You know, I love Petrie. And Dean is a steal in the second round. Like I said, I'm probably overthinking his fit with the Jets. He's one of my favorite players in the draft. Second round is a ridiculous spot to get him. So this is, you know, B+, borderline A- draft. I really like what we did here.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely – I guess this my biggest thing is the lack of real serious investment at edge and then the headache that's going to come with Becton, that if we do believe if Ekwonu is picked, that Becton will eventually be traded. I really don't think they're going to go into camp with those three tackles. I know Joe disagrees with me a little bit about that. But to cap off the podcast, I had heard on Washington radio from a couple of people that they had called – the Washington Commanders had called about – Mekhi Becton at the combine to see his availability, and a certain trade came to mind that would fix our edge woes, And related some Mekhi Becton to the Washington Commanders, who do need help at left tackle. I'll ask you, we'll end with this last question. Joe, would you trade Mekhi Becton for Montez Sweat straight up?
For Sweat straight up?
Yep.
Let me think about that. Pass that on, Migs.
Dylan, I mean, Chase Young is not coming. Like, we have to get a little realistic. That's why I said Montez Sweat.
I will drive Mekhi Becton from Florham Park to Washington, D.C. with a subscription to Weight Watchers ready to go myself.
Okay, Dylan, tell us how you really see this. This is how fed up Dylan is with draft season. I really respect it at this point. James, what about you?
No, I mean, you almost had me. I thought you were going to say Terry McLaurin and Chase Young for Mekhi Becton for a sec. But I think, honestly, I don't really watch Montez Sweat, so I couldn't really intelligently comment about him. But I think that value feels right. So,
yeah, I think he's the perfect, never going to be like the top edge, but I do think he can play as the run well. He's got good length. He's a crazy athlete. I'm pretty sure he ran like a 4.440 at 250 pounds at his combine, which before the Adafi Owe pro day was the fastest recorded one for an edge rusher, I believe. So he is a crazy athlete that I definitely would, you know, go with Joe Douglas's RAS fetish that we all know that he has. So I really like that fit, that value. Who knows if it could happen, I would really love it. So I would do this in a heartbeat, but Joe, I'll blend with you.
I think it's a decent proposal. And I'm with James. You know, I don't wash Sweat enough to kind of, you know, I guess make the right decision. Maybe I'm going to be doing some cranking of the film tonight, watching a little Sweat, if that's like a legitimate kind of thing going on. But, you know, I know Sweat did kill the combine, that's for sure. I know that much about him. And I don't know if he's ever had double digit sacks in his career, but I feel like he could be also an ascending player. So if the Jets did that, I wouldn't hate it. But I think the one thing that we kind of missed a boat on maybe on this mock is that, yeah, we took Ekwonu and we didn't. Maybe we should have tried to fit in a trade for Becton and got another pick, because that I believe that if they do trade him, something is going to happen on draft day. I said it like a couple of months ago when we were talking about it specifically. And I am curious, like, what they will eventually get. If they could get another bona fide first rounder like Sweat, I'm down with it. I think eventually it's going to probably end up being like more like a second rounder this year and a third rounder next year. I think whatever it is, it's going to total about 590 base points, which is pretty much the last pick in the first round. Because I don't think that Joe Douglas is taking anything that's not kind of equivalent to a first round pick. So I really think Joe Douglas would rather have picks than a player. But if you're into that guy, Meigs, and I know you're into the edge guys, and you like Sweat, you're not sweating it, let's pull the trigger on it, baby. Let's do it.
I would just like the listeners to know Montez Sweat 10-yard split, which is very important in the scheme, was 1.54, which is in the 98th percentile. So definitely could fit this defense. But guys,
Meigs, what? Can I do something for 2 minutes? A little rapid fire
before
head out for the draft. All right. Okay. You tell me whether you think you're buying this or you're not buying it. We'll just go around. We'll go Joe, Meigs, Dylan, and we'll do this for like 3 times. Okay. Sure. If Ekwonu is on the board, the Jets are taking him. Joe.
I'm buying it.
Meigs.
Buying it.
Dylan.
Unfortunately buying it.
Okay. Separate scenario. Sauce. Are we buying the Jets love Sauce rumors that are flying around?
No.
I can see it happening.
Dylan.
Hard so.
Okay, cool. I would probably land on no too. All right, now let's say it comes down to Trevon Walker and Kayvon Thibodeau somehow. You know, let's say Ekwonu, Hutchinson, Hamilton, or Stingley or Sauce at 3. Okay, who are they going? Trevon or are they going KT?
They better go KT. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, they would go Thibodeau. I feel very confident about that.
Please, KT.
Okay, now last scenario here before we head out, like KT versus Jermaine Johnson. Like, what do you think they think?
I think that's smoke. I really do think that if given the choice and there's no Ekwonu hanging over them and it was really just a straight up KT or Jermaine Johnson, I think they'd roll with KT. I really do believe that. If they take Jermaine over him and I look stupid, I do. But I just, in my heart of hearts, I believe they think Thibodeau is a better player.
I think Jermaine Johnson is a more pro-ready prospect, but I do think that Kayvon Thibodeau has a higher ceiling when it comes to his pass rushing. And from Joe Douglas's history, he likes the high upside players. So I feel like he'd probably go Kayvon Thibodeau there over Jermaine Johnson. But I could see either one. They're both great players. I don't think that Jets fans should be upset either way. I know a lot of people are getting all kind of up in arms about the fact that Jermaine Johnson might be the pick. This guy's a very good player. I mean, we should not be disappointed if for some reason Joe Douglas did go that route, but I'm seeing more of a KT for me.
Yeah, Peter Schrager is someone I respect a ton, and for him to lay claim to the fact that he's relatively confident that they would go KT, I really believe that. But at the same time, I do think Douglas values production just as much as he values upside in hindsight. So it's hard for me. I think they go KT, but I'm not going to be surprised about Jermaine. And like you said, Joe, the fan base needs to be very happy with either, because either combined with Lawson on that defense, I mean, we have a legitimate pass rush for the first time really in a decade and a half.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think that the fan base or our listeners are going to be upset about how we address edge in this particular mock?
Yes. I think they'll be cursing this entire podcast until they hear my Montez Sweat trade proposal. And then they'll be like, yeah, Meeks, there, they saved the day again.
when it comes to the mock, I feel like that's the one thing we pretty much missed on. And, you know, coming to second round, we probably should have went for like an Ebiketie or something of that nature.
Kind of, I don't know if Ebiketie is going to be there at 35. I have a hard time to see him getting by the Chiefs.
He is a realistic option, though. I mean, him and Mafe, they could end up in the second round. I know there's a lot of draft buzz of them going in round one, but I think if they are there and they went like a Kwanu London, I think that's something we can definitely agree that it's a possibility for sure. Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to be sad, though, because we're going to get Kayvon Thibodeau. So
Kayvon Thibodeau and Drake London. This is what was proclaimed.
Please, please, please.
But yeah, I still think they're going to take Ikem Ekwonu. But if they trade Mekhi Becton for Montez Sweat, I will be very happy with that selection. But guys, we made it to the end of draft season. You're going to be hearing from us basically after every round of the draft in some way or another on this podcast feed, probably in combination with Will Parkinson, host of the Turn on the Jets pod. So please, please make sure you're subscribed to the Turn on the Jets podcast. Make sure you're tuning into Badlands to hear Joe and Connor's reaction. And hopefully the Jets are a much, much better football team the next time you hear from us.